Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on When There Is No Doctor, right after this. You know, this income tax and Social Security program are not compatible with our traditional American values. These two programs encompass the second and the eighth planks to the Communist Manifesto. That's a foreign and alien ideology. Our traditional American values are individual responsibility in place of Social Security and tithing in place of the income tax. Now, these foreign and alien ideologies require of us that we violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Old Covenant. We covet our neighbor's property, and we call that income redistribution. We steal from our neighbors with unjust weights and measures, and we call those Federal Reserve notes. We practice idolatry by signing contracts with these foreign and alien gods that we call government. And you know, we're not getting away with these crimes either. We're now paying up to 75% of everything that we create and produce in taxes. We live in mortgaged homes that are owned by our savings and loan companies. We drive cars that are owned by GMAC or Ford Motor Finance. The average family of four has a $70,000 consumer debt. Then we owe $14 trillion in national debt. And then we're surety for another $44 trillion of unfunded government obligations. And our financial institutions are leveraged out to $60 trillion worldwide. And our Social Security retirement system is a chain letter. It's a Ponzi scheme. We live from paycheck to paycheck, and then we're taught to call all of that prosperity. Well, the God of Israel gave us a better way than that, and our founding fathers followed that better way in our Constitution at Article 1, Section 10. Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status and a better way of life, why don't you call for our free 4-hour compact disc package? It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. It's the place to start. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, why don't you go to our website, georgegordon.org, then click on to the archives page and download it right there, georgegordon.org, and then download it off of our archives page. All right, we've been talking about health. It comes from the International Forecaster. They have a section on health once or twice a week. It puts out more than 100 issues a year. Costs $160. I cut out the health section. I put it into a binder. And then I save those in alphabetical order so that in the event that I come up with an appendicitis, liver failure, kidney stones, or some other disease, some other malfunction of my body organs, I know what to do about it. I don't need a doctor. Now, I've mentioned that we've become used to this idea of the doctor, and I'm not knocking that. That's fine. I've gotten real used to electricity, and I get a switch over here on the wall. I flip the switch, and the lights come on. But I've got a plan B. When the power goes off, I've got a Coleman gas lantern. Then I've got several more. I've got several more of these lanterns, or kerosene lanterns. And then when all else fails, I've got several buckets of candles. So I've got plan A, plan B, and plan C. So I got to thinking about that as it relates to health. Now, you know, all of us get sick from time to time. You know, I'm an old man, but I got sick once or twice in my life because I ate bad, and I still do. And you're not going to change any more than I am. None of us are going to change until the pain gets so damn heavy that tears are streaming down our cheeks and sweat's dripping off our nose, and then, by God, everybody wants a solution right now. So I thought maybe I should start preparing for that solution up front, kind of like I did with the electricity. I got my Coleman lamps. I got my kerosene lanterns. I got my candles. I'm all ready when the power goes off. And so when we get through with this economic collapse, which is going to turn into hyperinflation here pretty shortly, which, by the way, doesn't take years and years. It just took 5 days in Brazil. 5 days to produce hyperinflation. Now, I don't know when it's coming, and I don't know how fast it's going to occur. I just know that it's coming because Ben Bernanke promised it. By God, when Uncle Ben promises, you can take that to the bank. Now, they said they're not going to opt for deflation. If you wanted my input, I'd say let's go for deflation rather than inflation, because deflation says when there's goods on the shelf, there's not very much money to buy it. But if you can get hold of the money, the goods will be there. That's what history teaches us. Money's hard to come by, but when you come by it, the goods will be there to buy. Hyperinflation tells us a story also. Bad money drives out good, and bad money drives out all the goods and services. So like every country that's ever gone before us into hyperinflation drives all the goods off the shelf. You're going to have lots of money and nothing to buy it, nothing to buy with it. And I say that that's worse than deflation. But I don't make these policies, and my government has already decided we're going to have inflation. And now they're in the process. They got a $5 trillion inflationary program coming online right now. And so I got to thinking about that, and I said, you know, that's going to drive health care services right out of the marketplace. And I better have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. Now, my plan A is to stay as healthy as I can. To facilitate that, I quit smoking, I quit drinking. I try to watch that sugar intake. I quit drinking soda pop. Although, you know, the other day I had a root beer float. And I've done that twice. In the year 2010, I had two root beer floats this year. Now, that's an excess, and I don't deny it. But that's not drinking a soda pop a day. Now, the average American is sucking up about 135 pounds of sugar. And you can't do that for very long, because if you do, you're going to come down with diabetes. So when this diabetes comes along, when this liver failure comes up, when this heart attack strikes and there's no doctor, no hospital, there's no emergency room services, then what are you going to do? Do you have plan B? Well, here in the International Forecaster in the health section is a story about how did it get this way. Talking about most common mistakes, preventive health and preventive health care is one of the major concerns in America. Second only to the health of the economy. Now, I see an awakening on many different levels in our society, but in particular for the need to acquire knowledge about what to do in health emergencies and how to prevent these health problems. Now, if you knew how to seriously protect your health, you probably would. So I'm going to pause right here. I don't believe that for a minute. And I've been watching people for years and years, and I don't see people, you know, in general, just the average Joe Sixpack. I don't see anybody out there too concerned about their health. 27% of us are fat as pigs. We're drinking Coca-Cola at an astonishingly high level, doubled our consumption over the past 20 years. I'm going to take exception to that statement over there. Now, it is true there's a lot of people out there. 12% of the people in America are indeed concerned about health. And if that's the 12% she's talking about, well, that's true. But then the other 88% don't give a rat's ass about what's in the food. They don't read the labels and couldn't care less. In fact, I saw a number the other day that was pretty shocking. 2 weeks after the election, they went out and asked people, did the Republicans or the Democrats win? 50% of the people polled couldn't tell. 50%. Couldn't tell whether the Republicans won or the Democrats. For your information, it was the Republicans. But that's because I was reading the newspapers and watching Brian Williams and Katie Couric. So the average American has not awakened and is not very likely to awaken. So you can forget that. Now, if you're awake and you're kicking around here, listen to this. We've gotten away from our fundamental health laws, and we've invested in corporate insurance plans and governments to save our health. Now, God gave us the divine institution of human government. And when rulers no longer do good works, but terrorize the people to do evil, it's time that the people stand up and take action and put on the whole armor of God. Now, here's a health secret. Normally, I report of health secrets that will empower you. However, this health secret is a detriment to humanity. In the early 1900s, the evil of this world developed a system of manipulation to hurt your health. George Brundtgam, Florida state attorney, obtained a copy of the Rules for Revolution. Now, these rules were not the rules of revolution for the U.S. patriot, but rather they were documents captured in Dusseldorf, Germany in 1919. And they were the communist rules for revolution. So why am I mentioning this? Well, immediately on this list is the communists' plan to ruin your health. And it says corrupt the young, get them away from religion, get them interested in sex, make them superficial, cause a breakdown of old moral values, honesty, sobriety, faith in the pledged word, and destroy their ruggedness, unquote. So when you hear the current administration crafting an agenda to curb obesity, high blood pressure, or some other malady, you can bet that it isn't about curing the disease, a disease that they have purposely created. They do not want to make you more robust. They don't want to make you stronger. That would defeat their purpose. It is about deception and reinforcing more control to secure the next stage to further degrade your health and freedom. If you accept this truth, then the secret is out, and you are now empowered to take a stand and to fight back. Don't hope. Decide. Now, did you know that our government and the health industry promote organ transplants? On the surface, that may look like a good thing. However, through the licensing of toxins, drugs, tobacco, genetically modified foods, and other poisons, we eventually experience organ disease. And we can conclude that something is amiss when every 16 minutes a new name is added to the national organ transplant waiting list. So if you are a donor and you have indicated so on your driver's license, your relatives will get the bill from the hospital for the harvesting of your organs. So hang on here a second, boys and girls. Did you know that? let's suppose now that you said, well, I'm gonna give you an organ transplant. You put that on your driver's license, you get killed in a car wreck, they haul you off to the hospital, take out your eyes and your guts, your heart, and so on. They pass those on. The medical establishment gets that free. You've donated it. The cost of harvesting those organs from you get passed on to your estate. Nobody told you that, did they? Well, you didn't think about it. Well, it cost somebody somewhere, you know, some doctor had to cut that heart out and send it on, package it up and send it, didn't they? Who's going to pay for that? Now, if you need to replace a diseased organ, you're on the recipient end, the hospital's going to charge you $250,000 for a new kidney, $300,000 for a pancreas, $400,000 for a lung, $520,000 for a liver, and the king of transplants is your heart, and that costs $650,000. Although all of these organs are donated, obviously there's a financial incentive for hospitals to harvest organs and to perform transplants. So who pays for all of this? The taxpayers do. It's paid for by socialized medicine. So it's your government working with the medical industry, the pharmaceutical companies over here, that stick it to us when we donate it. It's kind of like the blood, the Red Cross and their blood donations. See, they come out over the air every once in a while and they say, hey, come on into the Red Cross and donate a pint of blood and do it right away because we're short. And we especially need type A or type B or type O or type this or type something else. So, you know, you and I, we're Johnny on the spot, and we say, well, let's go in there and do our public duty. And so we give them a pint of blood. They don't pay us a dime for it. Then they take that blood and charge $180 a pint to the guy that's going to receive it on the other end. So they get it for nothing, and then they sell it. That's a hell of a good business. So don't ever think that the doctor, the hospital, the Red Cross, the government, or any of these institutions are in this because they're interested in your health. They're interested in making money. And I don't blame them for, you know, being interested in making money. But I think that they ought to buy and pay for those hearts, livers, kidneys. I think that the medical establishment ought to buy and pay cost of goods sold, just like we do, you know. If you're the Harley Davidson dealer, you got to write a check to buy that bike from the factory and put it on your showroom floor. I think the hospital ought to buy and pay for that heart, put it on the showroom floor, and then sell it to the highest bidder. I don't begrudge them that at all, but, you know, they're getting those organs from us free, aren't they? So I just thought somebody ought to bring that to your attention. And then they're going to send you the bill for taking your heart out of your body. That comes out of your estate. Then they're going to give it to this guy over here. And if he can pay for it, they're going to charge him $650,000. And if he can't pay for it, then the government will pay for it. That's all of us get to pay for it in our taxes. Isn't that just special? Now, we have to do business. We have to pay for our raw materials, pay for our goods, pay for our products. The religious guys, they expect us to donate to them, and the medical guys expect us to donate to them. And then they charge us right up the yin-yang for it, don't they? Now, drug companies benefit also from a lifelong prescription of anti-rejection drugs to the organ recipient. In March of 2009, there was a pending lawsuit where the Center for Organ Recovery and Education was working with Hammett Medical Center in Pennsylvania, and they were accused of removing the organs from an 18-year-old high school student. His name was Gregory Jacobs. Normally, this would not have raised an eyebrow. However, Gregory was not yet pronounced dead, nor did he meet the criteria for being brain dead when his organs were removed. Now, at least 42 states have laws requiring hospitals to have policies and procedures to inform families about organ donation. Gregory's father, Michael Jacobs, alleged that he was asked by hospital staff to sign paperwork for organ donation after they informed him that his son was brain dead. Believing the doctors that his son was, in fact, brain dead, Mr. Jacobs signed the forms. However, hospital records show Gregory was not brain dead and was not pronounced dead until 29 minutes after his organs had been harvested. Medical experts reviewing Gregory's hospital records believe that he would have recovered from his skiing accident. He had a head injury if it were not for harvesting of his organs. So what made Gregory's organs so valuable? Well, was he the correct blood type for individuals on the transplant waiting list? You know, when organ donation forms are signed, it gives the hospital permission to harvest all major organs, heart, liver, lungs, kidneys, and pancreas, unless otherwise stated. You should know that hospitals rank donors, and the most suitable or valuable are young to middle-aged head injury patients. It makes you wonder if the Jacobs case is a rare occurrence. So with this in mind, you should want to take care of your organs and skip the organ replacement and make sure family members know your wishes regarding your organ donation. All right, now tuck that one away in your heart. You've got a driver's license in your pocket, and you want to be a good guy, right? So you put on your driver's license, yeah, I want to be an organ donor. You're 25, 30 years old. Well, now, did you get these numbers that I just gave you here a minute ago? Let's just write down a couple, three of these, and see how much your body's worth. $650 for your heart. $520 for your liver. $250 for your kidney. $300 for your pancreas. $400 for your lungs. So let's see. We've got your kidneys, pancreas, lungs, liver, and heart. Five organs makes your dead carcass worth $2,120,000. Son, you're worth a hell of a lot more dead than you are alive. Now, you know, there's an old story that goes something like this, you know. Doctors bury their mistakes. Doctors bury their mistakes. So like this Jacobs case over here, who in the hell knows whether or not you were dead when they harvested your organs? Now, that's just the raw materials. Your dead carcass is worth $2 million. Now, they're going to charge that much to those customers. And then the drug companies come in, and they've got this guy for the rest of his life on these anti-rejection drugs. All of this gets paid for, by the way, by the taxpayers. If these people have money or they have insurance, well, then that'll pay it. If they don't, it doesn't make any difference. The government comes in, pays as a last resort. There's no such thing as the hospital gets stiffed or the doctor doesn't get paid. That doesn't happen. So tuck that one away, put that one in your heart, along with this health secret over here. The objective here is to destroy the United States of America, and in the process of destroying the nation, they want to weaken us. They want you to be weak. You know, people that weigh 300-400 pounds are not the kind of people that are going to resist a military takeover. Now, 27% of the population isn't going to rise up and put down or reject a government tyranny. They're going to just line up and shut up and do what they're told. So our enemies have accomplished what they set out to do, at least with that 27%. Now, they've got drugs coming into the country, and they've got the nation hooked up. Hooked on drugs, and the drugs are legal and illegal. It doesn't make any difference to a drug addict. What difference does it make whether you're getting your drugs from Harry down at the corner or you're getting your drugs over at Rexall? Six drugs now. If you're 65 years or older, on average, you're on six prescription medicines. So the people that are 65 years old, on average in the United States, the average Joe Sixpack, 65 years old. The senior citizens on Social Security are all drug addicts, every one of them. Sure, there's an exception here and there, but the general rule of thumb is that all of that population are hooked on drugs. Then you've got the young population, they're on recreational drugs. 27% of us are so damn fat we can't get off of our fat asses off of the couch watching TV. What kind of resistance do you think that the United States of America is going to put up here? Then on top of that, we're bankrupt. We've exported our jobs and outsourced our employment. Our manufacturing base is down to 11%. Used to be 60. Out of our economy, 60% of our economy was manufacturing. Today it's 11. So our enemies have incapacitated us. They have destroyed us. They just haven't announced it to us yet. So I just thought I'd put that out there to you. Now, there's going to be some survivors that come out of this. There always are. Just like the Titanic, you know, there's going to be victims, but there's going to be some survivors. And you might want to be one of those survivors. And health is going to be a very important element. You might get shot. You might have some blood loss. Do you know what to do when you have blood loss? Do you know how to minimize that blood loss? What are you going to do with the gunshot wound? Have you got any idea what you might do with that? Now, I don't deny if you get shot in the lung, you're probably just deader than a popcorn fart, but you know, maybe you get shot in the arm, maybe you get shot in the leg, maybe you've got some... You got some gangrene setting in here or something on that order. Have you got any idea what you might do with a wound like that, how you might treat that without a doctor, a hospital, and so on? I mean, the average American today, you know, they haven't got a clue. That's why they're running to the doctors constantly. I mentioned my granddaughter the other day. I mean, that poor girl's as dumb as a box of rocks. You know, sweet girl, I don't deny it. But, you know, the poor girl doesn't have any training or any education, doesn't know what the hell to do. The kid gets a snotty nose, she runs off to the pediatrician with him. So when this kid comes down with some kind of a real disease, you know, where he's really got some problems, what is she going to do when there's no doctor available? Oh, the kid will die. She didn't know what the hell to do with him. Now, my old granny never batted an eyelash. It didn't make any difference if somebody had pneumonia or the croup or the flu or whatever the hell it was. But, you know, those old ladies, they just got in there and they were tearing up sheets and they were putting mentholatum on this and pouring a little of this and that and together, and they were giving you these god-awful... They were treating you. Whether it was the right treatment or the wrong treatment didn't make any difference. But by God, they were out there treating you. They're doing something, even if it was wrong. They had a plan. They knew what to do next. So that's why I thought I'd bring this to your attention. Number one, you got a bunch of enemies out there that seek to destroy your health, and they've already done that. Now they've got control of your health care system. You're so incapacitated now that without their doctors and hospitals and their funding programs and insurance companies, you're just dead in the water. Okay, so they've succeeded again. So now, if there's any strength left in your body, and if there's any willpower left to resist, what are you going to do for Plan B? And then what if Plan B doesn't work? Do you have a Plan C? And that's why I recommended the International Forecaster in this series that they have every week in the Forecaster here that deals with health. Because they've got a plan. This is the way you deal with this. So in the first program, I says, take a look at appendicitis. Yep, here's the way to deal with appendicitis. That's why last week I took Natural Remedies Encyclopedia. So here's 500 sicknesses and diseases. Here's 500 cures. And you get that, you know, from the Baker Creek seeds. So the moral to the story is health is important. Health up front, or protection or avoidance of bad health, is the way to go. Most of us aren't going to do that. So now when you actually get sick, you have the appendicitis, your liver is failing, your kidneys are full of stones, and we got to dissolve these stones and get them out. We don't have a doctor. What do we do next? So that's the moral to this story. Yeah, I'm at the halfway point here, so let me give you a reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Again, georgegordon.org, org, click onto the archives page. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then we invite you to go to our website, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about health. What do you do when there is no doctor? Now, there's a publication here. It's called the International Forecaster. I give them a plug here every program. Get the name and number down here. It's Bob Chapman, and it's Post Office Box 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida. And the zip code is 33951-0518. And he says here that he isn't going to get this letter that you're going to send to him if you don't use that zip code plus 4. This is an international financial, economic, political, and social commentary. Probably the best one in the business, and certainly the most prolific. two issues a week. It's 104 a year, 100 anyway. And they're at Post Office Box 510-518. Six digits there, 510-518. Punta, P-U-N-T-A. P as in a pumpkin. U-N-T-A. Punta Gorda, G-O-R-D-A, Florida, 33951-0518. Now, if you got that down, that's fine. Now, if you're online, you can send this guy an email. It's a Bob at intforecaster, it's all one word, .com. If you want a subscription or renewal, it's info at intforecaster .com. All right, so either or, it's $160. Now, a lot of times people say, oh my God, $160. It's 5 cents a page, and there's about three pages in each one of these issues here that deal with health. So I'm giving you 15 cents. 15 cents each program is what it costs, 15 cents. I mean, come on, guys. That's about as cheap as it gets. let's not get so damn cheap over here that we throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let me just say this. If you didn't get anything else out of the International Forecaster, save for the two or three pages on health, let's see what this is going to cost you. Let's say you got 100 issues in a year, and you're going to pay $160 for the issues. That's 160 divided by the 100. It cost you $1.60 an issue. $1.60. It's under $2. Each one of these issues contains a section on some vital part of health for $1.60. Where in the hell are you gonna go? You couldn't call the damn doctor on the telephone for $1.60 and get the information. The sucker wouldn't give you the information if he knew what it was. And then number two, when you go to his office and you say, hey, I've got this symptom over here, he wants $100. I was in a doctor's office here 10 or 15 years ago, and it was 75 then. I don't go very often, but, you know, every 10 or 15 years, I have to go to a doctor, you know, just like anybody else. And the last time I was in there, $75. I can remember going to a dentist, and old Doc Croft charged me $35 to fill a tooth. $35. I was in that sucker the other day. It wasn't Doc Croft, but it was this claimant here in Gainesville. $105 filled one crummy tooth. $105. Now, that's not to say, you know, that his prices have gone up, but the value of money has sure gone down, hasn't it? We're dealing today, you know, I go to fill up my car, costs $100. When I was a kid, $10 would fill up your car with change back. Now I go in with a $100 bill, and sometimes I get change, and sometimes I don't. Just thought I'd point that out. So it's not the price of gas that's gone up, it's the value of your dollar that's gone down. And Ben Bernanke promises that he's going to screw us, blue us, and tattoo us a little bit more. He says he's going to get to us now with hyperinflation. So I say we need a plan. You got to have a plan here. Now, it used to be that old age didn't catch up with us until we were all past 40. Well, that's not true anymore. The toxins that we now are in contact with are invasive, from the termite prevention at your home to the toxic chemicals in the foods and prescription medications. The bombardment of all of these poisons in small amounts eventually takes its toll unless you employ measures to minimize the damage. So here's some countermeasures. Staying healthy is another job on top of all the other jobs that we already have. So I want to help make the job a little easier. I don't think health should be complicated, and we shouldn't have to depend on drugs and the system we now have to manage disease. And I often sum up staying healthy and by cleansing away toxins and putting healthier foods in the diet. A cleanse and nourish approach is easier than you think, and it gets us back to the fundamentals of good health. So I'm often asked about what to eat during the organ cleansing process, and we get all kinds of wild ideas about how hard this cleansing is. However, when organ cleansing is done correctly, it's a gentle yet effective way of removing these poison toxins and the risk of disease. Here are some fundamental tips when cleansing the bowel, urinary, prostate, liver, gallbladder, and blood. During detoxification, you'll want to avoid some types of foods, such as processed sugar and salt. Organic Celtic sea salt is the exception. Make sure you take plenty of it. But stay away from white flour, saturated fats, dairy products, fried foods, alcohol, caffeine, soda pop, artificial sweeteners, and all fast foods and processed foods. Processed vinegar. Now, the exception is organic apple cider vinegar is good. And foods with preservatives and colorings and artificial flavorings. God, that takes away Krispy Kremes, doesn't it? Now, these foods are toxic, and they cause allergies. Also, enriched or fortified foods can also be a problem. The removal of nutrition during processing and then adding the nutrition back destroys the nutritional balance, and it's never the same. It's time to think about simple foods. These are foods that are in your original packaging and are not processed or laced with toxic chemicals. You'll spend 30 minutes in the kitchen preparing meals, and you'll be healthier for it. Now, as I've said before, that's a fantasy. That's a wild idea. It's a good idea, but most of us aren't going to do that. You know, Krispy Kremes are still pretty good. And, you know, many of us are still hooked on soda pop and so on. But as I said earlier, I said when there's no doctor there now to solve your problem and you got to have a solution, this is what we call Plan B. Plan B. It's the international forecaster. Now, the Plan A that I mentioned to you last week is called Natural Remedies Encyclopedia. That's Plan A. Now here for Plan B, when there's no doctors around. I want to be able to take care of whatever it is that I need. And I got to have the supplies on hand. I got to know how to get the supplies. Now I've got an herb bed out here so that I've got a lot of these natural herbs that I'm going to need. I've got a juicer sitting on the shelf. And if I can get the apples, if I can get the carrots, then I can juice them. I can rebuild my liver, my kidneys. I can clean the kidney stones out of my kidneys. I can do it by myself without the doctor. I don't deny now that kidney stones with that ultrasound now is a hell of a neat idea. I like that. In fact, they got a new process out here now, the allopathic medical doctors. Let's say you got kidney stones and you're in great pain. See, they got this ultrasound thingy. First they take an x-ray and they say, oh my God, you're just full of kidney stones. And they take this ultrasound machine and they just break them up right through your stomach lining or wall. And then you urinate them out and they'll just fine dust comes out. Oh, they charge for that. I mean, it's not a free service. But, and I don't deny it, that's a hell of a neat program. I like that. Then I can eat all the Krispy Kremes and Coca-Cola that I can stuff into my fat face. And then when I develop these kidney stones, they can just come break them up and they pass through and they don't even hurt. And I can pass the bill on to the insurance company or the U.S. government and you taxpayers can pay it for me. So I can live my profligate lifestyle, screw up my health, and then get out of it pain-free. And that's the plan that I like. Unfortunately, that plan's coming to an end with the global financial crisis and the coming hyperinflation. So that's why I thought, let's get a Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C cooking here. And this is Plan B. Now, there may be a need for a Plan C. So as I tell my students here in subsistence and survival, we need plan A, plan B, and plan C. If plan C fails, God intended for you to die. So plan A, you should have a plan B. There's an old story that goes something like this. This guy's listening to the radio and it says, "My God, there's a flood coming, evacuate." So this guy says, "Jesus will protect me." So he doesn't evacuate. Sure enough, the flood comes, fills his house. So he flees to the roof of his house. So pretty soon a helicopter comes by. And guy says, "Hey, jump on here and we'll haul you away." He says, "No, Jesus will protect me." So he stays on the roof and the water gets higher and higher. And pretty soon a boat comes by and the guy says, "Hey, jump in the boat." And the guy says, "No, I don't need to. Jesus will save me." And so the guy goes off with the boat and pretty soon the house floats away. The guy drowns. He shows up at the pearly gates and he says to St. Peter, you know, he says, hey. "What happened here? How come you let me die?" And St. Peter said, we sent a helicopter and a boat." Well, wake up and smell the coffee here, kids. Ben Bernanke says he's promising hyperinflation. You've already got a global financial crisis. Your healthcare system's just been taken over by the federal government. This thing's coming to an end, and when it comes to an end, we need to have a solution. So let's see what we can do about that. Now, there was one more story in here I wanted to cover here. It dealt with a thing here. I thought it was dealing with, here it is. Good food. A thing here called alfalfa. Listen to this story. I've often mentioned that man has observed what animals eat to find what foods are safe and unsafe to eat. Well, alfalfa is a good animal food. Animals love to eat, and it's also indigenous to the Middle East and Asia. However, it's been traced to its origins in Armenia, where they fed it to thoroughbred horses because of its healing properties. The Arabs call alfalfa alfaka, and was known as the father of all herbs. They fed alfalfa to their horses to make them swift and strong. Well, by the 16th century, alfalfa had made its way into England, and in 1736, the British brought alfalfa to North America during the establishment of the 13 colonies. However, it was the Spanish that introduced alfalfa to the people of the Great Plains as a forage crop. The Chinese discovered a few of alfalfa's nutritional and medicinal benefits. The Chinese people, after observing that cattle love to eat alfalfa, investigated this blue-green leafy plant with its yellow flowers. Initially, the Chinese concluded alfalfa is a vegetable dish and also used alfalfa sprouts as a food. They later discovered that it was a wonderful kidney and digestive aid, and the people of Colombia, they used alfalfa to treat coughs. Now, the early discoveries, a British herbalist, John Gerard, used alfalfa for stomach upset in 1597. They didn't know then why alfalfa worked so well to heal digestive problems. It wasn't until much later that a biologist, a guy named Frank Bauer, discovered that alfalfa contained 8 amino acids. Now, our body needs amino acids to help convert protein into energy for our cells. The human body needs 22 amino acids to do that. Without these 22 amino acids, we can't grow, repair cells, or maintain our health. Our body can manufacture its own 11 of these 22 amino acids. The rest, known as essential amino acids, must come from our foods. So if you don't get enough amino acids in your foods, your body begins to break down muscle tissue for the protein. So unless you replace the amino acids in your diet, you'll not build muscle mass despite increasing your exercise. Now, there's 3 or 4 of these herbs. Red clover is another one. I know it sounds like, cattle feed, and it is. But the blooms, the big red blooms that come off of that clover, is a blood cleanser.
Yeah,
it's called red clover. You take those red, you got red and white clover. We'll take the red clover. It grows great big clumps, great big leaves, great big flowers on it. And those flowers, when they're dried, you can keep those for years and years. And what you do is you take them and you make tea out of them. You take them, put some water in it, boil it, and drink that tea. You can get those amino acids out of it. Alfalfa does the same thing. Now, there's another product out there which is called barley green. Barley green. Write that down. This is going to blow your socks off. Barley green. What they do is, barley is a grass, just like wheat grass, barley grass. I let it grow up, 4 or 5 inches. Before it heads out, they just cut it off, chop it up real fine, dry it, grind it up into a fine powder, and then they give it to you. Now get this, it builds brain cells. Barley green builds brain cells. You can take a baby born to a crack mother, which is going to be a half-wit all of his life. It's like alcohol, fetal alcohol syndrome. You take that baby and you feed them barley green. Soon as they're born, they'll be on breast milk, but you start feeding them barley green, it'll build brain cells and they'll be just as normal. In fact, we had one granddaughter here born to a crack mother, and that girl's smarter than the other three, and they were all normal. And we thought, well, that one's going to turn out to be a half-wit, based upon statistics and health and nutrition. All right, so tuck that one away in your heart. Now, you want to cleanse your blood. You want to build strong, healthy cells, liver, brain, so on. All right, well, these green herbs do that. Alfalfa, red clover, and barley green. Here's one more. It's a kicker. It's called wheatgrass. Now, a lady by the name of Ann Wigmore, she's the one that discovered this wheatgrass. See these amino acids in here that build cells? All right, watch this. You've got cancer, so we put you on wheatgrass. Now, my wife had cancer. They built a greenhouse onto the side of the house. Looking right at it right now as I look out the window. And they grew this wheatgrass in boxes, and you'll see this at the Wild Oats store. Go into the juice bar, tell them you want a spike of wheatgrass. The lady goes over with scissors. She's got a flat there, and she cuts off a bunch of this wheatgrass with the scissors, sticks it in the juicer, and she takes this wheatgrass juice, enzymes and all, sticks it in your carrot juice, you drink it down. Kills cancer on contact. Got that? It's one of the 14 cures to cancer. Wheatgrass. So, now you want to know, where do you buy this stuff? Well, most health food stores have it. And if you can't get it there, you can get it here from this international forecaster. Let me see if I've got an address here. Here it is. Called Apothecary Herbs. www.thepowerherbs.com. Write that down. www.thepowerherbs.com. Now, if you don't have a computer and you're listening on radio, write down this number here. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the United States, international number is 704-875-8010. So if you live in Canada or Bermuda or someplace, dial 704-875-8010. That's international. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that you got to buy from Apothecary Herbs. I'm sure that they can live without your business. But for your benefit, you want to write this down, because what if you're out here trying to buy the stuff and you can't get it anywhere? You know, you might call these guys and they don't have it. Well, then you ought to have Richard Schultz down. You ought to go into a health food store and tell them you're looking for a blood cleanser, and it's called Red Clover. And I'll bet you the guy in there will know just exactly what you're looking for and take you right over to it. You tell the guy, hey, I'm looking for a brain food called barley green. Okay, barley green? It's a powder. And then they tell you, hey, mix this with water and drink it down. Oh, my God. I mean, that stuff would gag a maggot. And if you can drink that down in a glass of water, you're a better man than I am. And what I do is I sprinkle that stuff on food to kill the taste of it. You know, you say you're eating, you know, just for the sake of our discussion, you say you're eating a little broccoli. Take a teaspoonful of barley green, sprinkle it over your barley, stick some balsamic vinegar over the broccoli to kill the taste of the broccoli and the barley green. You can get that down. That tastes pretty good. Now, some of this stuff, you know, you're going to have to kill the taste of it. And that's one of the complaints that I run into. A lot of times people say, oh, my God, that stuff's bad. Hey, you've been eating Ben and Jerry's ice cream for so long here, partner, that when you eat real food, it tastes bad. And I don't deny it. You know, Hershey bars and Coca-Cola really go well together. And Brussels sprouts and barley green don't. There isn't anybody that I ever met wants to eat Brussels sprouts and barley green. But I want to tell you that if you want to build strong, healthy cells, Ben and Jerry and Coca-Cola won't do it. Just is where life's at. Tastes good. I don't deny it. But you ain't going to build any cells. You're not going to build any organs. You're not going to build any health with Coca-Cola and Ben and Jerry. It ain't going to happen. So go ahead and eat the Ben and Jerry's and drink the Cokes and have a good time. But I'm just telling you that at some point in time here, that's going to get shut off. And when it does, you got to have a solution to the problem. And when we get down to solutions to the problem, this is where the rubber meets the road. You got Plan A, and that's Natural Remedies Encyclopedia. That was last week. This week, you got the International Forecaster. Okay, and we're dealing here with alfalfa. On the record, alfalfa has been known to help with the following diseases: bladder inflammation, dropsy, fluid retention, heart disease, sinusitis, lung disorders, various digestive problems, arthritis, hair problems, high blood pressure, and that's just to name a few. For the record, the Spanish changed the name to alfalfa. I'm so glad, too, because it doesn't produce a lot of phlegm in the throat trying to pronounce it. After the Civil War, alfalfa fell from common use and didn't regain its popularity until the 1970s as a salad ingredient. You might try this one. Have you heard of alfalfa sprouts? I mean, hell, you can buy those in any grocery store. A lot of these plants, clover and alfalfa, mung beans and so on, you can sprout those and then eat them as sprouts in your salad, because then you can put enough blue cheese dressing on there to kill the taste of. Okay, children, I'm about out of time here again, so I'm going to have to give you a reminder here that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, it's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. And it has our radio log, schedule, and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. org. All right, we're about out of time, so let me give you a final reminder here. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.